Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of renewing the mind. A renewed mind is a mind that sees reality as it truly is. A renewed mind is a mind that sees things the way God sees things and is therefore able to demonstrate the will of God in their lives. This week, we're specifically focusing on the fact that we need to learn to see who and what we really are according to God. Our minds must be renewed to our true identity. Now, in order to discuss that, we first have to know what our created purpose is. God made men and women to become His literal, actual sons and daughters by becoming partakers of His eternal life. Eternal life is not live forever life. Eternal life is the uncreated life in God Himself. When a person believes on Jesus, he actually believes into Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him, in the Greek, has the idea of believe into him. Whosoever believeth into him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When you believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit united you to the life that is in Jesus. We made the point yesterday that the New Testament uses several word pictures to describe our relationship with Christ, the union that we have with Christ. And these word pictures, all three of them depict union and shared life. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. He is the head, we're the body. He is the husband, we are the wife. All three of those word pictures convey union and shared life. Now, receiving eternal life into our spirit at the new birth is the beginning of a process of transformation that will ultimately conform us to the image of Christ in every part of our being. Romans 8:29 says that God, He foreknew us and He predestinated that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. The next verse lists the way in which God accomplishes this purpose. Let me read Romans 8:30. For whom He did foreknow, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Through this three-part process, God makes us sons who are conformed to the image of Jesus. He has called us or invited us to our destiny. He wants us as sons or daughters who are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He has justified us. To be justified means to be acquitted or cleared from all charges. We said yesterday, when you forgive somebody, they did wrong, but you just don't pay them back. You just don't give back to them what they deserve for the wrong they did. When someone is pardoned, they did wrong, but they're released from the just punishment. But when someone is acquitted, all charges against them are dropped because there is no evidence that they did wrong. Jesus took the evidence to the cross, and it was obliterated there. When we bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in His sacrifice for us, our sins are legally wiped out, and God can then treat us as though we never sinned. He can then do what He always intended to do and indwell us with His life. He can indwell us and make us into holy, righteous sons and daughters by giving us His eternal, uncreated life. See, that's what this third step is, if I can say it that way. He calls us, He invites us. When we respond to the invitation and bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, He justifies us or acquits us of all wrongdoing on the basis of the sacrifice at the cross, and then He glorifies us. Once we are justified or acquitted, God can then glorify us or make us alive with his uncreated life, his eternal life, in every part of our being, and then conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, spirit, soul, and body. He calls us, he justifies or acquits us, and then he glorifies us or shares his uncreated eternal life with us and makes us alive with that life in every part of our being. See, people sometimes trip up here. They say, what do you mean he glorifies us? I thought God doesn't share his glory with anybody. Well, you're exactly right. The glory and honor that's due to him as Almighty God belongs to him alone, no one else. He made those statements back in Isaiah when he was talking about idol worship and the fact that he would not share his glory with any idol that Israel chose to worship or any other people chose to worship. That glory goes to him. But when it says here he's glorified us, it means he's made us alive with his uncreated eternal life. Now let me read how the Amplified says Romans 8:30. I like this particular translation. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. That's good. So much we could say about that. But to be glorified means to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's another name. Glorification, or to be glorified, is another name for full conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a process. We said this last week. Being made like Jesus in every part of our being is a process. Being glorified is a process. There are immediate as well as progressive aspects to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It begins at the new birth when our spirit is instantly conformed to the image of Christ. It will be completed when our bodies are instantly transformed and made like Jesus' resurrection body in connection with his second coming. 1 John chapter 4 verse 17 says, as he is in this world, so are we. There's a lot in that verse that I didn't read and that we're not going to refer to in the interest of time. But as he is in this world, so are we. That cannot possibly be talking about our behavior, because our behavior is not yet fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and all of us occasionally do or say something that is not Christ-like. When it says, as he is in this world, so are we, it's referring to the change that's taken place in our spirit. Your spirit was glorified or made alive with the life of God, the uncreated life in God, when you believed on Jesus and were born again. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. At the second coming of Jesus, our body is going to be glorified or made alive with the life of God in every cell. Now, the transformation of our spirit does not directly affect our soul or our body. But we discussed this last week. As we cooperate with God's Word and His Spirit, our soul can become increasingly Christ-like or conform to His image, which will in turn affect our behavior and make us more Christ-like. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, from one degree of glory to another. See, when we behold his glory, we're changed into that same image. What image? Glorification. Receiving the life of God into our being to change us, make us alive, and conform us to the image of Christ. Now, Your soul, or your mental and emotional faculties, and your body must be brought into conformity to the changes in your spirit so this inward transformation can be accurately expressed. Did you know if you're born again, your spirit always wants to do the will of God? I mean always, and is fully able to do the will of God. The problem is, your spirit has to express itself through your mind, emotions, and your body, and they're not always on board with doing the will of God because they have not yet been changed. But renewing the mind or transforming your view of reality is key to this progressive, ongoing aspect of conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Because if you can get your mind renewed and learn to see things the way they really are, then your mind will side in with your recreated spirit and your emotions will be easier to bring under control. And then it's easier to direct your body to Christ-like actions. Now, back to Romans 8:30, whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice that that word glorified is in the past tense. Now, why is that when the process of complete glorification, when the process of glorification has not yet been completed, and it will not be until Jesus returns and our bodies are glorified? Why does he put glorification in the past tense here? He's called you, he's justified you, and he's glorified you. Well, it's because he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Let me read Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in you is the promise of glorification, the fact that Jesus, by his life, abides in your spirit, is the promise that the process of glorification will be completed. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, why does he put that in the past tense when you are not yet fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in every part of your being? It's because the condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. This is the main point we want to make this week. The condition of your spirit is the basis of your identity. It always has been. Before you were born again, the problem wasn't just what you did, the fact that you committed sins. It's what you were, a sinner by your first birth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 refers to men before they are born again as men who are by nature objects of God's wrath. Our nature was contrary to God as a result of being born into a fallen race, and the basis of our identity was sinner. But your spirit has changed, and the basis of your identity now is son or daughter. We'll pick it up right here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.